It's Bleck and Abdallah here on YouTube. Make sure you like and subscribe to the channel. We now talk with Zach Pearson from the Bear Report on 24/7 Sports. What's up, Zach? How's it going, man?
I'm doing good. Getting ready for rookie minicamp here, and hopefully an exciting offseason already for the Bears.
Well, I mean, it's been one of the most interesting and exciting Bears offseasons that I can remember. And like you mentioned, rookie minicamp starts on Friday. Have you ever experienced the hype that will be around this rookie mini camp and this offseason that you've seen?
Going into it, no. The only thing I could kind of compare to it in a least exciting way was when Matt Nagy had that kicker competition, but we really weren't aware of that until 11 kickers showed up at Hallis Hall. But in terms of, you know, like having the quarterback set and all that, man, it's been a long time. Like there was some excitement around Fields. It was still kind of that COVID era, so like the access was really limited, I believe. But like with Caleb Williams, I mean, it's just, it feels like a brand new vibe, not only like inside Hallis Hall, but outside with the fan base, with reporters, the national media around the league. So yeah, it's definitely been a long time. Definitely not as long as I've been on the beat.
It feels like if they sold tickets to rookie minicamp like they do for training camp, that it would instantly sell out like training camp does. What did you make of the entire Bears draft a couple weeks ago?
Excitement. Like it's so hard to describe, like being in there, listening to the picks, talking to the players, like overall, I just felt like they got everything right. And I'm not going to say like this is, you know, a class full of Hall of Famers yet or anything like that, but there's just like this sense that, okay, they're on the right path. They, you know, we knew they were going to take Caleb Williams. That was obvious. They just had to turn the card in. They made the right choice for me, you know, with Roma Dunze at number 9, another exciting player. They addressed a punter situation where they're pretty bad last year in that area. They got an edge rusher I really like, and they got a developmental offensive tackle. I think with just the Williams and Odunze picks alone, I think it was an A. I think these were just, you know, the icing on the cake. So I'm pretty happy with their draft. I think they're going in the right direction. And now it's just time to get them all on the football field and get going here.
Okay, guys, let me know if I'm reading this the right way. But if we're talking about potential ceiling expectations, at least for Rome and also Caleb, if they fail, I don't think they will be mega busts. Like, I think what Poles did in selecting both of these players is that they're both players that even if they don't work into Hall of Fame careers, they're going to be here for some time and they'll give an effort that is workmanlike. Does that make sense? Like I, the impression here is like Poles didn't reach for either of these players. Mm-hmm. And so I think they'll produce something, even if it doesn't meet our wild expectations of assuming that we have our franchise quarterback for the next 15 years and we have a Hall of Fame wide receiver to pair with him. And then this is essentially what Cincinnati put together with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase 2.0. Do you guys get that vibe too, that both of these players, it feels like the bust potential is very low with both of them?
Yeah, I mean, if Caleb Williams busts, like there's some sort of curse on this franchise. Like I just don't know how many swings they can take at the quarterback position. Not even one of them like pan out to be, you know, I guess Mitch was a Pro Bowler, but that was an alternate. So yeah, it's just I would agree. I find it hard for them to bust. I think the expectations are going to be high for Caleb Williams. It's just, you know, the nature of the position, the number one overall pick, a franchise that's had no success. But then when you're talking about, you know, Roma Dunze, the partnership, the bond they already have together is impressive to me. Like Caleb said, he's known of them. They knew of each other. They really didn't like become friends until, you know, recently. And it kind of feels like to me, they're already like best friends. Like he crashed his post, you know, after he got drafted, crashed the press conference and all that stuff. So I would agree. I don't see it happen. I think it's going to pan out. Like I said, it kind of just feels right in the situation.
We know about the weapons that they've surrounded Caleb with, you know, with DJ Moore and going out and getting Keenan Allen and now Roma Dunze and Cole Kmet. But can you discuss the character of those guys? Because it's not like they went out and signed Odell Beckham Jr., who's going to, you know, try to be a problem or could be a problem for a rookie quarterback if he doesn't get the ball enough. Like they have a bunch of stand-up guys that are going to help the rookie quarterback rather than, you know, kind of nag him to get the ball every single time. Because those are three wide receivers that could easily each have 1,000 yards on any other team.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big thing with Ryan Poles' character, no matter what position it is. We saw it in the draft with Jalen Carter. You know, they took Darnell Wright, which was the right pick, in my opinion. The character concerns are always there for Ryan Poles when making personnel decisions. So when looking at these wide receivers, I mean, you're right. Like, there's one football. I hate using that. There's one football, but it's like a good problem to have. And I don't see, like, look at what DJ Moore's gone through in Carolina with the quarterbacks he's had to play. Look what he went through last year. I mean, he produced a monster season with, you know, Justin and Tyson Bagent, you know, a career season, even though the Bears were losing and he really wasn't, you know, complaining. I don't get that vibe from Keenan Allen either. He's gone through some losing seasons with the Chargers. And then Rome just kind of feels like he's kind of got that confidence, but I want to learn. Like, he had an interesting quote when talking about like those throwing sessions with Caleb and Keenan and DJ, where he took it as like, I feel like I belong, like I'm learning them from them, but I'm also, you know, feel like I've crafted my work already to be an NFL wide receiver. So I like that confidence. To me, if Rome doesn't come out and, you know, catch, you know, 40, 50 passes for 500, whatever yards, and, you know, he kind of has a little disappointing year stats wise, I don't think that's going to be a big deal to him or anyone else just because of who's in front of him. And you also got Cole Kmet, who, you know, he's kind of one of those locker room guys. That's like, he's always happy. He's super nice guy. Like, you know, yeah. He's been through some losing. I mean, he's grew up a Bears fan. So like, he's seen a lot of losing seasons in his life. So yeah, the character stuff is definitely, you know, something that Ryan Poles put stock into. And I think you get, when you make these decisions, you have to, and I so far I trust him on what he's brought in here with this roster.
You mentioned about the expectations for Rome Odunze. What do you think are realistic expectations for Caleb Williams heading into his rookie season?
Yeah, that one's tough because, like I said, like the territory that comes with number one overall and with this franchise, like I feel like everyone's expecting MVP, like certain playoffs right away. Like, I wouldn't go that far yet. I think like being their rookie of the year is a good one. You're the number one overall pick. You're taking over, you know, for a franchise that, the defense got a lot better last year. They have these playmakers on offense. I don't think 4,000 passing yards is not reasonable. I don't know if he'll hit that right away this year. You know, get over 3,000 passing yards. Have a good touchdown to interception ratio. Don't turn the ball over a lot. It's just like basic stuff, but it's kind of what we're used to. Like, just in my eyes, like, just don't screw it up. Like, don't come out and just play really bad.
If he beats the Packers.
Oh,
if he goes, think about what this city will do if he goes 2-0 against Green Bay in his rookie season. People will go nuts. Like, they only win seven games, but two of those are against Green Bay.
Yeah.
He's going to be the chosen one.
The nail salons will have a lot of Bears fans in there if he beats Green Bay. Like, it's, I mean, that's what we all want. Like, just beat Green Bay. Like, we saw Aaron Rodgers, and everyone's, you know, Jordan Love is going to stink, and we finally got, you know, our guy, and then Jordan Love comes out and does that. So, yeah, beat Green Bay twice. That's honestly a really good goal for him his rookie year.
Off of that, I think that if he does struggle, the Bears have – and Ryan Poles, when he came in, you know, said this, and you alluded to it a little bit as well, is building this thing the right way, right? And what does that mean, the right way? I think we're kind of seeing that now where Caleb can come in – and struggle a little bit. Like, let's say he throws an untimely interception. Well, you had a top 10 defense at the end of last year. So now your defense is set up to kind of, you know, stop the bleeding from that bad decision that he made. Or if he has a bad game where he throws a few interceptions, like, the defense is kind of built up, and that's kind of part of building this team the right way. So if he does struggle this season, it's kind of on Matt Eberflus and that defense. Are they set up to kind of replicate what they did last year?
Yeah, I mean, looking at it, like, in the second half last year, I think the biggest thing was Montez Sweat. Like, we look at that defense the first half, blowing those leads, dead last in every QB hit, pressure, sacks, turnovers. How they went out and got Montez Sweat, I think, changed a lot of things because they got better in all those. So when you're looking at this roster and they add in, you know, the offense side, they add in DeAndre Swift, who I think is got, you know, some potential to be a really good back here. Gerald Everett is kind of like safety blanket with Cole Kmet. I think they're set up, you know, for Caleb not to fail. Like, it's a very, very unique situation for a number one pick to come into as a quarterback, because it's not wasn't their pick. Their roster wasn't number one bad. So, you know, to kind of answer the question, I think they're set up where we saw the last couple games. You know, take out the Green Bay game, although the defense played good enough to win that game last year in week 18. So I think they're set up where we're going to take all that momentum. We didn't make the playoffs. You know, we didn't end the season on a high note like the Lions did a couple years ago. We're going to take all that momentum. We got a guy that we, you know, is not going to turn the ball over a lot, or hopefully doesn't early. We'll rely on the run game. We have some safety blankets. We have veteran wide receivers for them. We're set up for to find success early. That's kind of how I take all these personnel moves.
You know, and one thing that I've been thinking about is, if you go back November and December of last year, the way the defense played, if Montez Sweat plays for a full season and plays the way he did in the final 2 months of last season in a Bears uniform, he's going to be in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. Like based on the expectations that this team will have and the eyeballs that will be on this team, I assume there will be at least 5 primetime games when the schedule's released. And if he's the guy that's leading the defense for a full season in a Bears uniform, he's going to be right there in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. He's going to have his opportunity too, especially with those primetime games. Like, I'm expecting 4 to 5, plus probably a Thanksgiving game, you know, aka primetime there, you know, at Detroit. But, like, it just kind of feels like he's that guy now on defense. But they have a couple of those guys. Like, they have Jalen Johnson, who's a leader. They have Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards, who are leaders too. So I do agree with your point. I mean, you look at him last year when he came over from the Commanders. I think he had 6.5 sacks when the Bears traded for him. He had 6 with the Bears in limited time, second half of the season. So he was really good last year, especially when he came over from Washington. But he will be the guy. When you need a play, you need a third down stop or force a takeaway or a sack, that's what you're going to be looking at. So, yeah, I mean, I would agree with that point as well.
Who plays on the other side of Montez Sweat? Since Yannick Ngakoue tweeted today, he's ready to rush.
Oh, he's ready?
He's ready to rush. He tweeted it today in all caps, which means he's really ready to rush. So is there a chance that they go out and maybe sign Yannick Ngakoue? Do they bring someone off the street, or is their solution internal?
Yeah, I think Ngakoue would be the guy if they were to bring someone off the street. They're familiar with him. They're not going to give him $10 million. I would probably project it $5 million, $6 million range, more of a team-friendly deal. I think he'd accept that too. I think after, you know, being here last year, suffering the injury, wanting to find a new home, he's ready to rush, like he said. I think he would take a deal like that. It would probably be him and DeMarcus Walker. If they do sign him, though, what would be interesting is, where will they put DeMarcus Walker at times? Could he line up, you know, as a 3 technique? Could they rush him instead of Ngakoue at times? And then Austin Booker, I mean, he's stepping into a pretty good situation as well, getting to learn from some veterans. I think it's going to kind of be like a rotation. They got a couple guys they could put in, like that quote-unquote, you know, NASCAR package that teams like to run. That's going to be very intriguing. I'm going to keep my eyes on that throughout the offseason to see, you know, who's kind of where and into the preseason as well.
You know, we spent most of this conversation being pretty positive about the team in the offseason. When you look at the division, NFC North, did Ryan Poles do enough in this offseason to where we could say the Bears have the second best team in the division, or are they still third behind Detroit and Green Bay?
Yeah, I still think they're third. I got to see it. Like, I know it's fun, and I said it's all exciting here, but you have to, on paper, I mean, they have a heck of a roster, but I got to see it on the field. Like, I think Detroit and Green Bay are really going to battle it out for that top spot. I don't really trust Minnesota. I didn't really like the McCarthy pick much. You know, I would say the Bears would be in that number three spot going into the season. Hopefully surprise us all and make a little bit of a run at the wild card.
So would it be disappointing if they don't make the playoffs? But because to me, like, it's not disappointing if they don't make the playoffs if your team has 9 wins, 10 wins, but the Lions go out and win 12 games again, the Packers win 11 games, and you're sitting there, you're like, well, we beat them both times, or, you know, one of the times that we played them, we split with the Lions, we split with the Packers this year. They just happen to win more games because we have a rookie quarterback and maybe there were some growing pains. Like, is there a situation where it's not playoffs or bust?
Yeah, I mean, I if they don't make the playoffs and they finish with 8-9 wins, maybe even 7, depending on what happens if there's injuries and things, I don't think it's a bad season. I don't think it's a disappointing season. I've said this a couple times now, that in the hunt graphic, don't be the last team in that graphic. Like, don't be the last team. Just kind of be like, you know, in the hunt number 2 or something like
that. That's what we say here. We say for Sunday Night Football, I want Kornacki here being like, this is what's going to happen. All right. If the Bears win and the Packers lose, and if the Rams lose, the Bears are in. Like, that's how I want it to be in the last week of the season. And then I'm happy. Like, that's fine.
Yes.
To be fair, we got there last year. Yeah, they made it through week 17. Before they fell off,
it's got to be more than a 0.01 chance. Though. Yes. Like, that doesn't count.
Yeah, there's got to be like a path where they can sneak into the playoffs in the final couple weeks or something like that. That'd be good for me. And I mean, you look at Green Bay last year; they were 9-8 and snuck in. Now everything kind of had to fall their way, and they got some help. But I mean, if the Bears, if they finish even 7-10 now, like, I don't think that's total disappointment. Disappointment and for me, it would just be 3, 4, 5 wins. I'm expecting more than that.
Oh, yeah. If that were the case, then, Zach, kind of like what you pointed to, there's massive injury.
Yeah.
Sweat's not there for the entire season. Jalen Johnson.
Coaching search.
You know, quarterback doesn't play the full season. Like, that's the stuff that would lead to a season like that. But I think we're kind of targeting the same group of teams. You're looking at the Rams, Seahawks, Cowboys, Packers, Buccaneers, /Saints, whoever from that division that is that second best team. Like, that's the cloud of teams that I hope the Bears are in that mix, fighting for those final 3 wild card spots. Because last year, it really came down to the division performance. And if they would have played better against Green Bay, they would have been the team sneaking in to that last playoff spot. And instead, it's Green Bay, and Jordan Love was fantastic on the road in a playoff game, proving to everyone that he's the real deal. I think when you look at the NFC, Zach, is there anyone that I'm missing besides the 49ers and Lions as the 2 best teams in the conference?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it. Like, looking, I guess if Green Bay takes a step forward, they can probably be in that conversation. I know people aren't going to want to hear that. It's just kind of the reality of the situation. If Jordan Love gets better, I think they still have a good defense. So still think their playmakers a little bit on offense could be upgraded. But it'd be San Francisco, Detroit, the NFC East. I don't even know what to expect out there. Like, what is Philadelphia?
Philly's a weird – the way they fell apart at the end of last season, that's strange.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do got Vic Fangio, though, which I think is going to be a great hire for them, because watching that team, when they made that switch from Desai to I'm blanking on his name, from the old New England coach, a defensive coordinator, like, something happened. Maybe it was locker room issues, I don't know. But those would be the teams. You know, the Cowboys, you can never trust them. The Buccaneers, maybe, I don't know. Can Baker put that together again one more year? Yeah, I'd say it looks like it's a 2-team race, in my opinion.
It seems like, too. Like, I don't need the pendulum to swing all the way for the Packers. Like, I don't need to go out. Like, it'd be fun to just beat the Packers for the next 20 years. But just make the games competitive again, you know, like, make them interesting. Like, if you split with them this year, it's not a complete waste, right? Like, I don't think they need to go out and sweep the division. But if you beat Minnesota twice and you split with the Lions again, and if you split with the Packers this year, to me, it's not like a horrible season. That still keeps you in the mix for a wild card spot. It just doesn't completely take you out like getting swept by them the last few years has.
Yeah, I mean, you got to win those divisional games, especially one against Green Bay. I think we're at 10 straight losses. And last year, they should have swept the Lions, really.
Yes,
I mean, they
really
should have. Minnesota, you know, they probably should have beat them twice. Even when they beat them the one time, it was kind of an ugly game. It was like 12-9 or something, 12-10.
It was the game of 55 screen passes.
Yep.
Man, it was prime time, too. It was like Monday Night Football. It was disgusting. But, yeah, no, I'd agree. Like, just – like you said, I don't feel like that pendulum is going to swing where Green Bay is going to stink for a long time. But, like, make them competitive. Like, it would be fun. Shootouts. Jordan Love and Caleb Williams. Bears can win a couple. You know, maybe the next 10 or 5-5 or 6-4 in favor of the Bears. That'd be kind of nice. Just, get to that level and just kind of help ease the pain of the last couple of years, man. 2018 was a long time ago.
It was six years ago, man. Wild. Zach, thanks for taking some time today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Thank you, guys.